Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We had a texter the other day. He texted in. That's what texters do. And he said, are you guys going to have Lance on? I guess he asked if we're going to have Lance on. And Brian's like, well, I can't get Lance on. I can't do it. So he's off work today. So I took the liberty. I was like, let me see if I can cash in on a favor. So I get in contact with some people. My people talk to some other people. And we have Lance on live, out of town, of course, for the NFL draft. And I did something that Brian was not capable of doing. Lance Zierlein on the HRNP guest line right now. Lance, thank you for joining us. What are you hearing with pick number 25 as it involves the Houston Texans?
Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. Tyler Booker, guard from Alabama. Gray Zabel, guard center from North Dakota State. Armand Membu, tackle from Missouri. Will Campbell, tackle from LSU, Kelvin Banks, tackle from Texas. Those six should all be on the board for the Texans. I think only five of them at the most go before the 25th pick. So the way I see it, somebody should be, you know, and if they have Josh Simmons on the board, then, and he was at 25, I mean, they'd almost,
and you
be crazy
said all
not to
six
take
of them should be on the board for the Texans.
Should be on the board on the Texans draft board.
Okay.
Meaning
they're not going to be on the board when the Texans draft.
No, I think one to two of them will be on the board. I think Gray Zabel's probably going to be off the board. I think he's going to be the first off the board of those teams, potentially to as early as to Cincinnati at 17. So I think Tyler Booker could be on the board still from Alabama, and I think that would be a perfect fit for the Texans. I can't stop thinking that his personality and his leadership is exactly what, and toughness and bodyguard mentality for CJ Stroud is exactly what the Alabama head coach is going to like about this Alabama guard. So that's the guy to watch. I mean, I've been telling you guys that Gray Zabel first. Well, no, Tyler Booker, I think first, and Gray Zabel, and then, you know, if they're both off the board, maybe Donovan Jackson goes there at 25. I'd take him.
There you go. Lance, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I know that you're very busy. We appreciate it. We'll catch up down the road. Bye. He didn't give us a bye. Thank you for Granado, by the way, making a little cameo.
Yeah.
I knew that they liked each other and they were with each other a lot. I didn't know they were with each other all the time.
Well, put two and two together, Jeremy. Lance is in L.A. at the NFL Network Studios, where he does a lot of this, where his draft analysis from now for the draft.
That's a good point.
Instead of going to Green Bay,
I didn't think about that.
John's in LA, living the high life of Hollywood. They could connect.
I didn't even put two and two together.
There you have it.
They're in LA together.
Mm-hmm.
Dang,
Spago tonight, or one of those fufu restaurants. Out of the possibilities.
I never even heard of that.
Well, yeah, I think Spago is one of the, I don't know if it still is. It's a long-standing big-time restaurant in L.A.
Alex says, see, that wasn't difficult. Great job, guys. Exactly. How come Brian couldn't pull off what we were just capable of pulling off? He's lazy, Brian is.
Oh, without a question. But this is the first that you're feeling this, now that we know that he has more days off than Charlie Polillo?
Unreal. He did something for us that he was not willing to do for. I don't even know if Brian asked him. Like, you think Brian asked Lance? I bet you if Brian asked Lance, he would have been happy to do it. Like, he just did it just now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he would have been fine.
Especially on his day off. He's not doing that.
75 says cell phone dropped. Lance did say bye. I guess I just missed it. So there you go. Thank you to Lance. Now, what did you make of what Lance had to say about these offensive linemen?
It's interesting. I mean, we talked about a couple of guys yesterday. I'm just curious. When we talked about, like, the tiers, he says that those six guys, I just wonder in Nick's on Nick's draft board, how many of those guys are like his on one tier? And then how, with the drop off, how many guys does he think, well, had a second round grade on and maybe isn't willing to take them at 25? And that's where maybe the trade down scenarios happen or other things happen. I don't know. I think that their obvious first priority is still to get at least one. And I think that a lot of people are saying, and Lance did in an interview with Will Kunkel, where he thought that they might leave this draft with two offensive linemen. And
I would not. Kunkel, we wouldn't do one for BMAC?
Yeah.
That's on BMAC, though.
Right. Not you. Lance. But at the same time, I would be pleased if they left this draft with two offensive linemen, that if they can play at all. So,
with their first and second?
No, I don't know if I'd go first and second, but would see. I mean, maybe.
So what did Lance say? I mean,
he just said he kind of prioritized, and it's kind of what we've talked about. It's offensive line, wide receiver, and then interior defensive line. And he said when all was said and done, he thought they would come away with one defensive lineman and two offensive linemen.
Oh, in the entire draft?
Yeah, in the entire draft.
Oh, so like one could be a seventh rounder.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Him, like those names he mentioned, I'm good with. Like I'm good with those guys. Like there's not a whole lot. I mean, I play these scenarios in my head. There's not a whole lot I think I'd be mad at here for what the Texans do. And all the names that he mentioned, I'm okay with those guys being the pick for the Houston Texans at 25. Now, do I think some of them are reaches over the others? Yeah. Like, are there certain players there that I think could be kind of reachy at 25? Yeah, especially the guard from Ohio State, the guy who played tackle.
Yeah, McShay called him a knuckle.
What does he mean by a knuckle?
Like a knucklehead. I guess that was really? His hip wave. He goes, yeah, you know, he's a knuckle, but if you know enough people at Ohio State, and you know that at the end of the day that he's got ability, he goes, I have him highly rated as a guard. He goes, I could understand it.
Todd, the show. How fun is it talking about six linemen that could be potentially drafted at 25? It's fantastic. This is great. This is why we do what we do. See, I think Donovan Jackson would be reaching at 25. Would I be mad if he's the pick at 25? I wouldn't be mad because of their need for offensive line, and I do think he would at least start for them.
Yeah, the only question I would have is, like, did you think that was there any possibilities to trade down, especially if there's a run kind of after 20, whether it's Shadur or somebody else, where you could ask yourself the question, if he slid this far, uh-huh, do I think I could get him either early in the second or if I traded back a little bit?
The danger there is it feels like there's a lot of offensive linemen who are going to go in the first round. But I'm with you. Like, I don't mind a trade down. Like, mm-hmm, I actually want a trade down more than I want a trade up. I know that's not fun, but I believe that the Texans would be better off by getting a surplus of picks. 75, it sucks when your line is bad and you have to go O-line in the first round, not sexy. It isn't sexy. Here's the thing, though. Like, all the names that Lance rattled off, and he thinks that one or two of those guys would still be available when pick number 25 comes around, that to me is another big example, and maybe the biggest example, of why I don't want to trade up. Like, just mm-hmm, to let one of those guys fall to you, and you have a starting offensive lineman with that has good potential, that might be the starting offensive lineman for the next, you know, at least the duration of his rookie contract, so 5 years there. I would stick and pick.
No, and I think that from the top two positions of need that we've talked about for the Texans, I think from a very positive perspective, the same situation is there for the wide receivers. I think that there's a bunch of wide receivers. There's not standout wide receiver ones glaring you in the face like even a year ago. And I think that there's a chance that if they truly are identifying a wide receiver or wide receiver that they want to come out of this draft with, there's a chance from that perspective, too, that there's a bunched up maybe six guys.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them slide to the second round.
Yeah. If you do trade down, though, it'd have to be like first 10 picks of the second.
Right.
Which, I mean, maybe, like, we hear so much. And we're about to hear what I'm reading from the NFL. There's so much. So much stuff is out there. And who knows what's true. Like, Rossini's just making stuff up, and the players that she's reporting on are saying you're a liar.
Loved it.
Which is not the first time that's happened with Rossini, by the way. Not the first time that's happened. So it's hard to find what's credible and what's not, especially in silly season. The day before the draft. But there's been some talk that some teams will trade into the back of the first round trying to get one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Sanders that falls, whether it's a team that falls in love with Jackson Dart. I've seen Jalen Milroe gain a little bit, mm-hmm, of late first round buzz because he's such an elite runner, right system, like Lamar Jackson type, like idea at least. And all it takes is one team to have that idea. That, to me, is the play. If that opportunity presents itself, that's the play. Because I think you get a little bit of a premium when a team is trading up for a QB versus any other position.
And that's what I was kind of alluding to, because everybody's watching New Orleans, but I think that Pittsburgh's going to be really key in this, and maybe there is a team, maybe the Giants try to trade back in, because the Giants, you know, aren't probably not going to, their current pick is way too high for mm-hmm. who they are looking at. But I think when it comes to Shadur and Dart, I don't think Shuck is the guy that's going to slide enough. I mean, that's going to generate enough interest where teams are going to want to push to get him.
I think that guy used to play at Tech.
I think that's the guy that he's like 26.
He started at Oregon, he was, went to Tech, and then now finished at Louisville.
That's the guy that Lance was talking this morning, and he goes, I was talking, and he goes, I won't say who it is, but a guy that's a draft expert. And he was like, so he wasn't good in his he wasn't good enough to be like a draft prospect in his first year, second year, third year, fourth year. But suddenly in his last year, this is an NFL quarterback.
He was in the same recruiting class out of high school as Trevor Lawrence.
That's what he said. Yeah, they came in
no
together.
No way.
Yes.
He backed up.
Yep.
He backed up Justin Herbert at Oregon.
See, Houston played him. Houston played him
when he was at Tech.
When he was at Tech. I think it was pre-Big 12, though. I even think the game was at NRG Stadium. I'm pretty sure it was whenever they were rebuilding. Whenever they were building TDECU Stadium. I think that's how long ago it was. Because he was at Tech from 21 through 23. I want to say they played him in like 21, 22, perhaps. Yeah, August 24th, head coach Matt Wells announced that he would be the starter for the team's week one game against Houston. So it was 2021.
Wow. He's been around.
Now, he was like a highly touted player, though. Like, he was not somebody who was flying under the radar. Like, he was somebody who was very highly decorated coming out of college. And he had a bunch of injuries, too, I remember. But he's 25.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of old. Does that matter, you think? Well, I mean, obviously it matters, but how much does it matter?
He's mature. He's polished. He's ready to just really, you know, be able to grasp everything even better because he's a mature quarterback now.
I think it depends on how you're drafting him, though. Like, if you're – this is not a prospect. Like, this isn't a guy that you're drafting in the mid rounds. Like, oh, okay, he's going to be our third string quarterback, and he's going to be a developmental guy. He's 25. He can't be a he's going to be 26 when the season kicks off.
Wasn't there another quarterback like this in the last couple of years?
Brandon Whedon?
No. That's way back in the day. Or the guy that went to Florida State, pursued minor league baseball.
Was that Chris Weiss?
No. Winky. Chris Winky.
Chris Winky.
Yeah, but I thought that in the last couple of years there was another scenario where they were trying to paint the picture of, hey, he's a mature quarterback. He's you know, 20-some years old. He's able to digest things a lot quicker. I forget. I thought in the last couple of years there was a quarterback like this.
I don't remember. Do you guess how old Chris Winky is?
Right now, 44.
Sean?
41.
Chris Winky's 52 years young.
Oh, my goodness.
He's 52.
He played for, was it Carolina?
Yeah, he did play for Carolina.
We're doing the math as if he was like a normal-aged college player in 2000.
52 years old.
Yeah, because he played minor league baseball for several years before he went back to school.
We didn't bump him up the fact he was 28 when he played at Florida State.
He's 52.
I never would have guessed that.
That makes me feel old. He's at Georgia Tech now. In case anybody was wondering, what 52-year-old Chris Winky is up to these days.
He's coaching?
He's coaching at Georgia Tech.
Well, I thought he was the backup. He had some years left.
Got a couple years of eligibility.
Yeah.
At the ripe age of 52. My goodness. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Texter saying, I had deja vu of that Lance and John call, 409 Josh. I don't know why you would have deja vu of that. Lance dropped the mic on y'all, laughing emoji. He's busy. Lance is such a nice guy, says a texter. He is so busy right now, and he was able to join us. It's very nice of him, I agree. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Here's what I'm reading when it comes to this NFL draft stuff. Lots going on around the league. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Oh, Nick, is that who you were thinking about? He was 25, apparently.
I think that might have been him.
Todd says, whenever I want to feel old, I just remind myself that the characters from Cheers were in their early 30s on the show. That's crazy. You ever watch Cheers?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, I was. I went back and I never watched it, obviously, whenever it came out. But I went back. I think I rewatched it during COVID. Like, we would watch it as we fell asleep. I liked it. I actually liked Cheers.
Yeah, there was some. Did you prefer Diane or Christy Alley's character?
Christy Alley.
Yeah.
They were very different.
For sure.
They were very different. What's the dude's name? Ted Danson?
Ted Danson? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on Curb.
He's been in a lot.
Yeah, he has. He has been on a lot. Jasper, does NIL apply to sports radio hosts who have their audio cut and played on another show, asking for a friend? It's cute you think you're friends with Lance, Jasper. You guys aren't friends. They're not boys.
He's not alone.
Y'all need to be team players and get on the bench like John and Lance did for y'all. That's why they're in the Hall of Fame. I did that before the NCAA tournament there, Texter.
That's right, you did.
I was the perennial Houston Cougar expert. I did it. I did it for them. I always do it for them. I'm always there when they ask. Just like Lance was there whenever I asked, and Brian just dropped the ball. 713-780-ESPN. Stetson Bennett, was that who you're thinking of? Might have been.
I don't think so. How old is Stetson Bennett?
He's pretty old. I think he's 27, 28.
Yeah, because I think he was a JUCO guy for a couple of years.
Stetson Bennett's the first guy to win a national championship, go into AA, and then in the retirement house, all within a decade.
He also got dinged for a DUI, didn't he, as part of that?
Yeah, the AA thing was a rumor, but not even a rumor. I think I made it up. But he kind of disappeared from the Rams for a year.
Yes, Stetson Bennett's 27. Maybe it was. I think it was Bo Nix, but it could have been him as well.
Yeah, Bennett was an old man. 713-780 ESPN. Here's what Rich Eisen does. Here's what I'm hearing at the draft. I don't have the connections of Rich Eisen. I mean, I know Lance, but that's about it. So I don't have what I'm hearing from the NFL. I just have what I'm reading. This is all other people's stuff. This is one I just saw here, Blankers. I'm curious how you feel about it. Packers interested in George Pickens? Would that intrigue you?
No. George Pickens does a whole lot of bitching and crying and complaining. And
sounds like a good receiver to me.
No.
That's what all
I
good
was
receivers
all in
do.
On DK Metcalf, and I thought that would have been a great pickup. I am not in on George Pickens because I'm not sold that he can be a one either. So
he was a one in Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's not saying
one,
a whole lot. And he wouldn't be one this year with DK. So depending on what they have to give up.
He'd be Green Bay's one, though. He would easily be their best receiver, right?
Yeah, he would be their 1A. Yeah, because they have a bunch of twos. They have a bunch of twos and threes and a bunch of young talent, but no one has really kind of distanced themselves and stepped up. They thought Watson was going to be that guy, and Watson's just all he does is an injury waiting to happen.
He's out for a good period of time, too.
Yeah,
right?
he tore his ACL at the end of last year.
I remember it was a catastrophic injury late in the year.
I could see part of the trade being one of the young guys they have going back that way to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Because Reed's not a one, Dobbs is not a one, Watson's hurt, not a one, Wicks isn't a one.
No, I think Dobbs would be the guy because, remember, he had that little stint last year where he was upset when he wasn't getting the ball enough and he ended up getting suspended for a game. I could see Dobbs and a pick going back for Pickens.
Yeah, that would make some sense. I mean, Pickens would easily be their number one receiver, though.
Oh, for sure.
He'd be their number one.
Too bad he doesn't have a number one quarterback, but yeah.
Tom Pelissero reported this, an NFL assistant coach on Shedeur Sanders. Quote, "The worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing, he's not that good." The odds on Shedeur Sanders have also changed on where he's going to be picked. The over-under on him now, I think, is 21.5, is what I saw a little bit earlier.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh's at 21.
So the odds on Shedeur Sanders being drafted high seem to be going down. Now, I do think that there's a little bit of a smoke around this quote. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the NFL assistant that said this is actually a team that likes Shedeur Sanders, because the NFL is a dirty, dirty business, and they play dirty, dirty games when it comes to the draft. It wouldn't stun me if the assistant coach that said this planted this to a reporter trying to hurt his draft stock so they can get him later in the first round.
It's possible, but I don't think he's the only one that said that. And I think that I've heard from some people that he has – dad is a problem, but the bigger problem is that kind of dad has given him that kind of entitled kind of mentality to him and that over-the-top cockiness. And there's people that question how much ability he has. That's why he is the guy that's going to – he's like the one domino – that is going to be what everybody's watching and how it dictates the rest of the draft. Because a lot of people were enamored in the last couple of days saying the Saints might be in the market for him when they pick. And now what I'm hearing and what I've seen on TV also is that the Saints aren't interested in him. And if the Saints don't take him, now it's either going to be Pittsburgh at 21 or teams like the Giants who don't take him initially as high as people thought he was going to go, trying to get back in to get a quarterback of the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Shedeur Sanders stuff is... It's interesting. I don't think he's going to like hang up the draft, though. I think he's going to end up sliding to where he's kind of like Will Levisy a bit. I think he creates all the action, right?
If he slides into like 2021, I think that creates a whole stir of teams that are going to try to get active, making a move just to see.
I guess it depends. Okay, it stirs up activity late in the first round,
yeah.
But it creates inactivity, I think, in the first 20 picks.
Maybe
because
so.
Like I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of movement. Yeah, I mean, there could be because there's like, you know, are they trading up for offensive linemen, all that. Ashton Jeanty is a name that's been talked about a lot. Like a lot of thought, oh, he's going six to Vegas. The new buzz with Jeanty, and in fact, the betting favorite to land Jeanty right now today at this very moment, the Jaguars at 5.
Yeah, I don't know that I like that.
For whom?
I don't like it for the Texans.
Okay.
I don't like it for the Texans to put Jeanty in your division. I just, you know, they've done a whole lot of things wrong, but I don't want, you know, and ETN was, he's kind of a gimmicky guy. I don't think he's an every down back anyway. I think if they got a guy like that and he's even close to what most everybody is saying he could be, I don't like the fact that he would be in the Texans division and playing twice a year.
Huh. See, I was actually more looking at it from a Texans angle where I don't want them to draft the top receiver in the draft because of the mismatch they would have with Brian Thomas Jr. and top receiver in the draft. I didn't really thought about them stopping the run. Texans are usually pretty good against the run, but Jeanty's supposed to be special.
I'm saying, if he's special and you got to see him twice a year for the next however many years, I'm not really signing up for that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Tet McMillan was thought of to be potentially the number 5 pick for Jacksonville, but they're even saying that he could slide all the way into the 20s. So, like, he might be a bit of a wild card, too, for a guy that's not a quarterback.
You know, the other thing, Jeremy, about Jacksonville is Pac-Man Jones was on, I want to say it was a podcast, but he was adamant that he has sources that were, like, super in the know on Jacksonville, whether they were in the building or not, that was saying that they liked Shedeur. And that they were willing to trade and they were trying to shop Trevor Lawrence to get out from and away from Trevor Lawrence, and then they would take Shedeur.
That doesn't sound like a Liam Cohen thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just know that Pac-Man Jones was like pounding his fist on the table going, hey, my sources are good on this, and I'm telling you. And I was like, wow, that would be something if Trevor Lawrence got traded.
Israel's on the line. Hang tight, Israel. We'll hit you up on the other side. The Hivers have some draft thoughts, and we'll get some more of what I'm reading about the NFL draft. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Here's what I know is that Pro Dunk makes the best basketball goals on the planet. It is basketball season. Your kids are probably jonesing to shoot some hoops. You might be jonesing to shoot some hoops. The significant other might be jonesing to shoot some hoops. And if you're going to get one, don't waste your time at the big box store. Don't buy a cheapie. You're going to be replacing it in a year. It's going to be on its belly in a couple of months. Backboard's going to be broken. It's going to be messed up. If you're going to invest in a basketball goal, get one from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard gives you that authentic, true feel. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust proof, which is must have in Houston. Breakaway rim. Well, why do I need a breakaway rim? Because it's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. And their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do. Their accessories are next level. Look, it's dark. We understand you're at work. The kids are at school. You can only play in the evening at night. I'll get some LED light kits. That way you can play all night long. backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. You don't want a big box with a million pieces delivered to your driveway. You don't want to put it together. Allow the pros from ProDunk to professionally install your goal at the perfect height. Perfectly straight. You don't install. Let the pros at ProDunk do the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
713-780-ESPN. A texter says Pickens is always open, Blankers.
Okay. Let him be open for somebody else.
Lance has him at 21. I think he's talking about McMillan. Sanders isn't even going to be at the draft tomorrow. That's because they're watching it in Boulder with his dad.
Was he he was invited as one of the – because Hunter's there.
Yeah, he went. Apparently, his dad's going too. He got permission to go. Hunter's dad did. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Israel is in the hive with the bees. What's up, Israel?
What's up, fellas? Hey, real quick. First of all, Shador was the Johnny Unitas winner, right? Top quarterback. He threw over 4,000 yards. He also 4,000 yards. He led 73%, led the country in percentage rating. He and he's not leaving out to the top. He's going to get picked in the top 10. He's the first quarterback signed to Brady with the NIL deal and when he was in college, the first quarterback on his. I don't see him passing him up. But even if he do, right now he is the face of the draft. He brings the bag. I'm going to tell you, whoever drafts him, his jersey's going to be up there with Mahomes from the jump. TV viewership is going to go up. He's bringing the bag, bro. His contract is going to be paid for the interest for whatever team get him. And there's no way, no team franchise is going to pass up this bag and go way to 21. He bring more value than any one of them. All of them put together, all of their jerseys, the whole first round. Put them all together. His jersey's going to outsell them all. It's a business.
But can he play Israel in the NFL on the next level? What are you guaranteeing me? What are you betting me? How high do you think he's going to go?
He's going to be a winner. He's going to be a winner just like my man in D.C. And he's going to be just like my man in ATL. When Atlanta drafted, old boy, when they had the guy they got from Minnesota, I can't even think of who they keep giving a chance over and over.
Kirk Cousins
couldn't get the deal done. He couldn't even get Kirk Cousins, couldn't even get the deal done. They had to get my man, you know what I'm saying, to pick up the slack. And he's he's a winner. And he got the talent, and he bring the bag.
How high is he going? Israel, how high is he going?
Say it again.
How high is he going? You're guaranteeing me that he's the man.
And within the top 10. He's either going to Brady, or go with his brand, or he's going to New Orleans. Either one. I don't want him to go to the Giants anyway. They got too many quarterbacks. And Cleveland, I'm so glad he ain't going to Cleveland. I feel for Travis if he go to Cleveland. So we'll see tomorrow. All right, fellas.
All right, Israel.
I mean, where he's drafted isn't going to determine his NFL productivity. Yeah. Like, I mean, Lamar is drafted late first.
I mean, NIL money is not going to dictate it either.
No. Israel likes Shador. Right? I mean, we'll see how it plays out. There is no right or wrong answer yet. We'll see how it goes. I'm a bit higher on Shador than a lot of these reports I'm reading on him. Because I do think he sees the game well. I do think he is a good quarterback. I think he's accurate. Now, the completion percentage is a little bit skewed because of their system. They throw a lot of balls at the line of scrimmage. I think his arm is big enough. Now, off-the-field stuff, I have no clue about. I'm not privy to that information. If his dad really is a problem, then that's not great. And there's also the fear, too, that if the coach stinks, they just hire his dad
right.
to be the head coach. Like, that's kind of a scary place to be if you're a head coach. But I don't know about the off-the-field. If the off-the-field stuff checks off, I actually like Shedeur Sanders as a prospect. Not as a top 10 prospect, but as a first-round prospect. Now, like the Johnny Unitas Award winners, I mean, Jaden Daniels won it in 23. But Max Duggan won it in 2022, the TCU quarterback that led him to the national championship game, who was like 40. Kenny Pickett won it in 21. Mac Jones won it in 20. So I wouldn't look at the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award as the end-all, be-all when it comes to making it at the next level. There have been some hits. Joe Burrow won it. Deshaun Watson won it. Andrew Luck won it. Matt Ryan won it. But then look at the guys I just mentioned. Look at other guys who have won it. Mason Rudolph, Connor Cook, A.J. McCarron, Colin Klein, Scott Tolzien, who you know well, Colt McCoy, Graham Harrell, Brady Quinn, Jason White. So I wouldn't use the Johnny Unitas as an argument to why Shedeur Sanders is going to be good at the next level.
Yeah, nor NIL. I think the thing is he's the domino that could dictate all the excitement in this draft. And as he slips, I think it'll generate trade interest from teams that still need to draft a young quarterback for the future. And I think that he's polarizing in the fact that from the scouts to the analysts to the fans, some love him. Some don't.
Lamont says the Israel has made every reason to draft Sanders except his balling capabilities. That's the problem that I had with it. I don't blame Israel or have an issue that Israel likes Shedeur. He might be right. I like Shedeur a little bit more than I think the average does as well. On the field. Off the field, I have no clue about. If what we're reading is true, and I'm not sure that it is because it's silly season and these fake reports come up all the time, but if those are indeed true, that would make me want to stay away. Now, that's where it comes to your team and your investigation and your due diligence, because if you think all that stuff is not true, and again, this stuff gets put out there all the time by these teams trying to mess with the draft, you have to be able to trust that process for yourself. 713-780-ESPN.
I mean, I heard some things dating back to high school. So in terms of like the entitled attitude and things that everybody was letting them get away with and what dad was kind of dictating. So you're right. We don't know what we don't know for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But there's no doubt he's right that he is the face of this draft. I think as much as it's almost been a foregone conclusion that everybody's written off that Cam Ward's going to go number one. And now it really is Shedeur Sanders' show in terms of what everybody's talking about going into the draft.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, though. Like, what if he slips to the second round and it's no show at all?
But it doesn't matter because still going into it, that's part of the show. He keeps sliding. Remember, that was such a huge story when Rodgers was still in the green room and he slid to 25 or whatever it was. That everybody's talking about him until the draft starts. And then if he starts to fall, that's all they're going to be talking about. You know, Shedeur's still sitting there.
On Thursday, like, I feel pretty confident that Shedeur is going to be the main character of the draft, basically.
Yeah, the way you spelled it out there, you're probably right. B. Hannon says LZ has him going to Cleveland at 21. I wonder who he's talking about. I wonder if he's talking about Shedeur, because Cleveland makes sense for Shedeur.
Well, there was, and I told you that. I brought it up on the show, I think, a week or so ago, that one of the hot stories was that Cleveland finds a way to get both the Colorado guys, and that builds up all this positivity in the Cleveland organization after Deshaun, that you got these two young up-and-coming prospects that play together at Colorado now playing for the Browns.
Kevin Stefanski, if he has a bad year, then Deion's the next coach of the Cleveland.
No question.
Yeah. Better win the division, buddy. Yeah.
If I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm like, let's avoid that scenario. Let's do something else. Yeah. Let's trade up for Jackson Dart. So Deion can't take my job. Lamont and Israel are different people. Ask a texter. Yeah, Lamont and Israel are very different people. Very different. They're polar opposites. In fact, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, what's up, Gary?
Hey guys, please don't hear me out. Please don't muddy the water. One of you guys just mentioned that not just Deion possibly coaching, but you all, well, off the field stuff. This is what we're saying. If it's off the field stuff, and maybe that becomes the problem, we create these narratives. Let me associate it with life. I know we don't want to talk about it, but the elephant in the room. It, it is done. You mentioned, one of you guys mentioned that all those quarterbacks that did not amount to anything and won that award in life as African-American too. Yeah, I got to go there. When African-American, we got to work 10 times or 3 or 4 or 5 times harder. Look at the African-Americans that did win that award, the quarterbacks. What have they done? See, so many people, we have to work just as hard. And what I'm getting at is that when we start creating narratives, we create the fear tactic, the hoodie in life, the black hoodie, walk on the other side of the street, the angry black men. This stuff goes across life. King Kong, the black giant. And I know we're going to take this and kind of screw it and misconstrue it, but that is the simple, the root behind it. Deion did nothing less than what Eli Payton's done, but he's just Deion. That man refused to allow his son to go to a certain team in purgatory, and it worked. But nobody, but it's okay. The damsel in distress.
Gary, the Gary, the Gary, I'm going. You yes, said a lot. Yes. I'm going to interject
yes.
this.
Yes.
As it
yes.
relates to his dad went out yes. before this draft and said he will manipulate yes. the draft and he will dictate where yes. his son goes because there are certain teams yes. and places he will not let his son play. So he's already polarizingly putting himself okay. in the middle of it.
Okay, I agree with you. But let me tell you, whether you say it before, during, or after, on national television, this man, see what I'm saying? We move the goalposts. Whether you say it before or not, this guy, Eli's dad, came on and spoke at some point. No matter what the point, I don't look at the time frame, the slots, and all this. The matter of another dad stepping in, it was similar. No, he didn't wear the gold chains, and he didn't have the curly hair. But he did say, my son will not play for an organization. And we can take it and spin it, and it's going to continue to be spent. But just like you talk about those awards and whatever, look at all the busts of kids that did not amount to it. And then look at the Joe Burrows and the ones that did. And the Lamar Jacksons. Because there hadn't been a lot of African-American quarterbacks, so the ratio is different. But the ones that have won it have turned out okay, you listed about 15 QBs that did not amount to anything. But coming up on the draft, damn near all of them were talked about as if they were the next coming, even the Jackson Duke. And then to put the word fear out there that his dad may take over and coach. Well, it's just life. This man is doing nothing more different than what the other dad did, but he wears gold chains, he wears curly hair, he gets kids through college, and he's flashy. And people fear that. Walk on the other side of the street, the angry African-American male, and that's fueling these divisions, and that's fueling this stuff. And I know you can't see it or y'all don't want to talk about it. You have a platform.
Don't put words in our mouth. Cam Ward's going to be the number one pick in the whole draft. He's a black quarterback.
I don't disagree. No, I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about the way they are pinpointing Shadur. Cam Ward's dad and mom are not Deion. But he did nothing. Ultimately, if you just say ultimately, they both did similar things. The Manning and the Sanders, whether he spoke 10 months before, when he was 3 years old, when he come out the womb, whenever he did it, I remember the draft. Eli will not be going here. It is no different, man. We got to stop moving the goalposts. It's not you guys. Let me tell you, I promise you, I'm not being sarcastic. It is not you guys. You're reporting what you hear.
Yeah.
You're talking about what you hear. You're bringing it to the audience, and we're giving our opinions. We heard that today, too. I hear it today, too. But that stuff, in the old days, we bought into that. But now, we don't listen. That fear stuff. If you put enough fear, hey, don't buy a house over here. Because there's a lot of people of ethnicity or the value of homes. Man, that stuff been going on with the Karens forever. And that's the same thing, but it's now it's the Shadors. It's the Sanders and the Karens and the Shadors.
Appreciate
you guys
it,
are doing a great job.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I think it's a great point about the Mannings. What's different? What is different? And like Manning was, I mean, you could say their talent was different. I mean, you could say that Eli was a better quarterback than Shador. The counterpoint would be, well, why would you say that? I would point to NFL draft evaluators. Like, they thought Eli was a top 5 quarterback, and it seems like Shador Sanders isn't going to be a top 5 quarterback. But I think the Eli to Shador has a lot of similarities.
Did Archie
I think
say
a good
that?
Point by Gary. I mean, he did it.
No, Archie orchestrated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want him drafted by the Chargers. Yeah. So he's drafted by the Chargers.
It was Eli and his agent. I did not know that Archie was – I don't remember Archie being involved in it.
No, he was. He was the – I mean, according to reports and stories, he was the dude that orchestrated it all.
Hmm. Yeah. Because okay. I know yeah. Elway did it too, but I don't think his dad was involved in it. I think that was – he used – with his agent, used baseball and the Yankees as a threat. I don't think that his dad got involved. His dad was coaching Stanford, I think, at the time. But I did not remember Archie.
Yeah, that was – I mean, that's what happened. Archie – it's – I mean, even right here, I just Googled it real quick. The Manning family predetermined they did not want Eli playing for San Diego, urged the Chargers not to select him. And then they executed it. The Chargers like, well, we're taking him anyways, probably all part of a scheme to trade him. But it actually happened. So there are a lot of similarities between Eli, Archie, Deion, Shador. The thing with Deion, I know that Deion said that, but there actually hasn't been any action to that. Like, what team has Deion crossed off the list that Shador can't play for? Like, that actually hasn't come to fruition.
No, and I think a lot of it has to do with initially when he was saying all that, it was because those guys were Cam and Shador were being compared as either one of them could go number one overall. And Deion was still doing follow-up interviews, talking about teams, talking about, you know, that organizations he liked. At one point, I think he put out a list of teams, and he was also throwing Travis Hunter into this too because he treats him like his son.
He said that, but I never saw any action to that. I never saw anything that's leading to that actually coming to realization. I know he said it.
I just don't know if we can see action until we get close to the draft, right? I don't, and I think it's easier when you know, hey, the team drafting number one overall, it's a slam dunk that, like, kind of like to what you said about from the talent perspective of where they're rated, Shador wasn't coming in as the hands down number one pick in the whole draft, whereas Eli was.
713-780 ESPN. People want to weigh in on this. Texters, callers alike. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Paul Gallant. Now back to the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Our Blankers, have you ever played a Killer Bee rejoin on the Paul Gallant show?
Yeah, I was just saying, Paul really is on the rise.
No, because I just... Force of habit went to my page instead of Brian's.
Was that the first step of a hostile takeover?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't know what Paul has planned, but that wasn't a first step of whatever.
I wouldn't rule it out, Paul.
Anytime Gary calls, we get a lot of reaction. Texter, you wasted 10 minutes of my life. Cut this guy. Texter, tell the truth. Caller. Man, y'all got to quit letting these dudes ruin the show with this BS every day, man. WTF. Gary's calls always make me uncomfortable in a good way. Look at LeBron's son. He's had the best opportunities growing up, and look at him now. So a little LeBron comp. Does this caller realize the first pick of the draft is a black quarterback? It's not about color. It's about actions. Can you please stop taking that dude's calls? It's always the same with that dude. apparently that was a copy and paste. Adrian had sent that before. He copy and pasted that. People criticize one black quarterback and somehow all white people are racist. We literally celebrate all the black quarterbacks in the NFL. Keith? I don't know if that's true. That's a bit of a reach. Archie was criticized after it happened. Archie didn't want Eli to play for Marty Schottenheimer, thought it would stunt his development. It's not different based on race. Could say Deion is more polarizing character and is also always in the media as more of a face like LeVar Ball. Teams probably don't want that. Archie wasn't on TV 24/7. Did the Mannings really not catch any criticism for what they pulled with the Eli Chargers scenario? They did. They did. Gary's such a race baiter. He calls the bench with his garbage. Gary 2028. So see, it's very polarizing. You have people on his side, people not on his side. It is a very polarizing topic, and I appreciate Gary's input. I think he argues it way. I think he argues his point well. I will say this, though. He said all of those quarterbacks on that list were the next coming. I promise you Max Duggan was not the next coming. Nobody thought that Max Duggan was the next coming in the NFL. So I know that's a nitpick. That wasn't his point. I just wanted to point that out, that Max Duggan was not the next coming. Was he a seventh or was he undrafted? I can't remember. Anyways, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRNP listener line. Jim, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I was just calling in with the Shador thing. I don't think I've ever seen a prospect be so hyper-focused on as him. Obviously, with his dad being Deion, I know that's a big factor in it. But, it is gotten out of football realm, and it just becoming weird at this point with the way that people are like, you forget that there's other quarterbacks in the draft. And for example, like the people who brought up Tyler Shuck and Jackson, if you watch college football, there is no world Jackson Dart is better than Shador. Like objectively, you could say potential, but as an NFL evaluator, drafting a quarterback with no real empirical evidence and just saying it's kind of weird at this point. I mean, the dude won the United's Golden Arm. Like, people act like he's some bum. Like, you look up Eli's stats. There's no season where Eli was better than Shador at quarterback. And, once again, you could talk about potential, and I think people always talk about what he doesn't do well. But, you just hope that the real NFL evaluators aren't doing. And to give me, like, the news report that came out today, with the anonymous quoter saying all those things about him. To me, in media, we shouldn't grant anonymity to people that are sharing opinions. If you're going to give us a fact or something that is not subjective, then go for it. List that. But giving anonymous people the ability to share their opinions on other people, to me, is almost criminal. Like, you're just hurting somebody with no accountability, so we can't put a name on it. So I just think at this point the coverage of it has gotten weird. It's not about football anymore. It's a lot of innuendos. I'm not going to go as far as the previous caller, but I do see a disparity in the way that certain media members cover him compared to others. And I think it's just weird. Like, can the kid play football? If the answer is yes, then he should be graded on that merit. He's not the only quarterback in the NFL draft. There's other quarterbacks, and you hear nothing about how bad some of those kids are. And a lot of the stuff that Shador is just flat out better. Even the Cam Ward thing. Cam Ward is a great quarterback, but there's no sure thing. We see this every year. They pick somebody that's going to be like the golden child, and they bash one of them. They did it to CJ.
Can I just ask you a question real quick? Because you're saying, based on the college stats and everything and the awards won and things like that, that there's no world where Jackson Dart could be better than Shador. But if you're
You said could. I mean, I could be better than. I mean, I could be seventh.
But the reason why
no
you hear, but to finish the point, the NFL scouts and the teams that are looking at quarterbacks, they may look at a quarterback that didn't have team success in college, but there are plenty. There's a reason why that there's a lot of people talking about Jackson Dart, because all of a sudden there's a whole lot of scouts for a whole lot of teams that are enamored with Jackson Dart. Now, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying that regardless of their college careers, NFL looks at it and doesn't really give a rat's ass about how the team did or what he did at a certain point. If they like his measurables and his arm strength and his talent.
Oh, you mean like Richardson? Yeah,
we can pick and choose how we want to pick and choose. But there have been Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes wasn't an All American.
Exactly.
Patrick Mahomes made it. I just said, and I let you talk, but I just said you can pick and choose either way to support your argument. I'm just saying you can't say that Jackson Dart might not also be a good NFL quarterback, or may turn out to be better. We don't know, simply because
of
what
he did
in college.
I didn't say he was not going to be. I said, based on what his performance, you cannot say flat out that he's better than some of these people that covered this are. Like, if you're going to grade the quarterbacks, then just grade them on their merit. I feel like they're using a different scale of grading on Shador compared to the other quarterbacks. You're hearing criticism of stuff that damn near everybody does, but for him, it's hyper-focused, and it's getting weird. And you just ask, obviously his dad has a lot to do with it. I'm sure there's a lot of different dynamics that go into that. But to me, this is just even the measurables thing. When has measurables ever determined how great a quarterback is? Some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL history didn't run a fast 40 or had a big cannon. There's quarterbacks come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. And how they perform, to me, the stuff that people are ignoring about Shador are the things that make good quarterbacks. Toughness, smart, can read a defense, accuracy. But all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he has to run this. He doesn't have a cannon arm. And we see this every single year. They get these kids in shorts and T-shirts and ignore everything that happened during the season. And if they have a good, you know, a pro day or they have a – to me, the draft process is dumb. It's really not really about football. Like, how does a interview – if somebody makes you feel a certain way, you this you know, ignore everything else about their profile and just say, well, because of this interview, this kid, I'm not going to pick him. But to me, that's just why GMs get fired.
Appreciate
it's a
it,
lot
Jim.
Of cutesy stuff.
We're up against the top of the hour. A lot of good points that I want to hit on the other side. We're going to do that when we return. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Polarizing topic, but I think one thing we can all agree on is that Monument Chevrolet is the best dealership in Houston. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're transparent, no-hassle pricing, get your car shopping done fast. We hate when people they're trying to fool us, right? They're trying to trick us. They're trying to make us pay way more than we should be paying. That doesn't happen at Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere, culture is tremendous. They hire good people, including Melissa, who's the salesperson of the week. She's been working at Monument for more than a year. Spanish speaker, really knowledgeable and friendly as well. Head to Monument Chevrolet. Ask for Melissa. You asking Monument Chevrolet listen, too, by the way. Truck month has been extended through April. That means employee pricing. You can get the same pricing Melissa's getting for your Hurst Chevy Silverado 1500s. This runs through April 30th, so you got a week. But there is a catch on this unbeatable deal. Stock is limited. Stock is running out. So get over there quick to Monument Chevrolet as they're selling a record number of Silverados. So if you're looking for a special truck, the time is now. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, easy deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. You've been waiting to upgrade your ride. Now is the time to do it. Take advantage of employee pricing. Visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com or just go visit them in person at 225 and Beltway 8. Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.